It's Monday, November 14th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, good to have you back on the podcast. And we're getting close to the deadline for the Guardians to set their 40-man roster. So we got plenty to talk about today. One of the big developments we learned over the weekend, President of Baseball Operations Chris Antonetti was speaking to MLB Network Radio. Talked about, you know, what the Guardians' plans for the trade market will and will not include, and who they will not include for this upcoming offseason.
Yeah, one of the big names Chris was asked about, a rumor we've heard and talked a little bit about the possibility of trading Shane Bieber. And Antonetti, just came out and said, Shane Bieber is going to be on the ball club next year. So that kind of ended that trade rumor. But, it's interesting that he come out that strong this early, Joe. I think, we've heard him say that with a couple of other players like Jose Ramirez. And, Jose's name jumps into my mind, in kind of a similar situation. And, that's good to hear because a team is built, the Guardians are obviously built on pitching. And, Bieber turned in a 200-inning, 13-win performance this past season, a great bounce-back year. And, he's obviously the ace of the staff. And, I think, it's good to know that he's going to be back next year, leading that rotation again.
Yeah, it's interesting to learn that he won't be traded, but, you go back to the Jose Ramirez situation, he was saying the same sort of things about Jose Ramirez, last year, but then we learned that had Jose not signed that contract at the beginning of the season, and it was a different situation, obviously, but had Jose not signed, he probably would have been traded at some point prior to the deadline last season. And that would have made things, completely different in Cleveland throughout the year. From a sliding doors perspective, you make one decision and it impacts a whole bunch of other ones. Keeping Shane Bieber on the roster really does anchor that that rotation and give it the real good foundation that it needs to sort of get back to where it was last year.
Yeah, definitely. Then, you got Bieber, Tristan McKenzie, Cal Quantrill, and you've got to, expect, some bounce back years from, Plesac and Savali, or, maybe you add somebody. I think this is an area where they, it's been a while since they've added a starter, but I think that might be an area where this team needs some help, especially, if Plesac and Savali don't really, if you don't think they're going to bounce back. And they certainly both had their struggles this past season.
Yeah, we have the non-tender deadline approaching, and, teams have to set their 40-man by tomorrow. Non-tender candidates are, there's a few on the roster. There could be some guys, you'd obviously want to try and explore the possibility of making trades with a few of them. But if you can't, then there are guys who would be candidates. But let's just wrap up this Shane Bieber discussion. What kind of message does that send to the young ball club then after all the success that Bieber had last year and has had over the last few years? The kind of message you send the clubhouse there is, we're not dealing away pieces here to just try and stay under a certain salary number. It's about trying to win games moving forward too.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, and that's what Antonetti said on the interview. He said, our intentions are to do as well or better in 2023 as we did in 2022, get back to the postseason and try to win a World Series. So I don't think you're going to trade Shane Bieber and And, you know, that's going to be your goal. So, you know, that is encouraging, Joe. I think, you know, this is a young club. You know, we saw it, you know, come together this year. You know, they have everything. They're on the upswing. They're not on the downswing. They're not looking to rebuild. This is a team that needs to add and, you know, and get better in doing so. So I think, you know, Antonetti recognizes that, and most everybody in baseball would recognize that, I think.
Yeah, it's about maintaining what you've got and improving upon what you've got with making those necessary, you know, tweaks and changes to the roster as they move forward. We're going to talk about the 40-man roster. I think Anthony Gost might have been the only player that they needed to add back on from the 60-day injured list. Obviously, he's recovering from Tommy John surgery and probably won't be pitching next season, or at least for the majority of next season with the ball club. So, you know, you got a little flexibility with him. You can put him on the 60-day injured list after spring training, and he doesn't hurt you against the 40-man. But in order to get through this sort of period here where they've got a bunch of candidates in the minor leagues, and we were talking about some of them before we started recording here. There's a handful of guys. It's not like last season this time when they added a whopping 11 players to the 40-man roster, and we saw quite a few of them come up. They had 17 major league debuts last year, but they're, you know, I would say anywhere between two and maybe four names of guys that they could be adding to the 40-man to protect them from the Rule 5 draft in December. These are minor league players who have been, I believe, with the organization since what, 2017, 2018? And they have the option to, you know, be selected in that Rule 5 draft if they're not protected. Names that sort of jump off the list right here. Right-handed pitchers, Peyton Battenfield, a guy like Ethan Hankins, who was a former high draft pick, Nick Mikulacik, who's appeared in a bunch of spring training games, Thomas Ponicelli has also pitched for them in spring training games, exhibition games as well. Lenny Torres, another name that sort of jumps out there. Left-handed pitchers, Joey Cantillo, who was part of the Mike Clevenger trade and has yet to make his major league debut. Catchers, David Fry, I believe, is out in the Arizona Fall League. And infielders, you've got Aaron Bracco, Ray Delgado, Angel Martinez, all names of guys. Martinez in particular is a guy we'll talk about here in a second. Outfielders, really nobody really jumps out. Mike Apriese, Alexfri Planez are guys. I believe Chris Roller has made it as high as double A. So a couple of those guys are double A guys. But really the name that really stands out here is Angel Martinez. He's a guy who's definitely a candidate for being added to the 40-man roster.
Yeah, Joe, Angel Martinez is a switch hitter. Switch hitting middle infielder. This past season, he had 278, 101 hits, 363 at bats between Lake County and Class AA Akron. 13 homers, 44 RBIs, 12 for 19 in stolen bases. His dad was a catcher in the big leagues, played exactly one game for the Indians. So, you know, so he's a player that they like, and I don't know, Joe. I mean, that's a crowded pool. We were saying earlier that what they have 10 infielders on the 40-man roster right now. So, mm-hmm. You know, there's got to be a little give and take here when players get added.
Yeah, there are guys who are on the roster who you would think would be non-tender candidates. And would be left off to sort of make some room. You know, do you cut loose a guy like an Owen Miller who didn't necessarily have the greatest season for the big league club, but obviously at the end of the year was still in there in the playoffs and getting at bats, and Terry Francona still put his faith in a guy to go out there and try and perform. What do you do with a Will Benson who really didn't get a whole lot of time out there in the outfield? He sort of played sparingly, but you know, earned his way up to the big leagues last season by performing so well in AAA. And again, you've got Nolan Jones, who's an outfielder slash infielder, he's trying now every which way to try and get back to the major leagues, including grabbing a first base glove and trying to switch positions again.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix. You know, Palacios, we saw Richie Palacios a lot. He was up and down 3, 4, 5 times. You know, he's on a 40 man. You look at the infielders, you know, Tyler Freeman, Noel, John Kenzie, Rocchio, and Tania, you know, our young guys. We didn't see John Kenzie or Rocchio or Tania, but we did see Freeman, so in the big leagues. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be an interesting choice. But like you said earlier, we're not going to see a mass, you know, addition like we saw last year when they added 11 players. I mean, it's going to be a little more defined this year.
I think you got a good chance of seeing two names added to that 40-man roster, Martinez and Cantillo. Anything beyond that, I think is a lot. That's got to be a special day for some of these minor league guys who have been, you know, working at it for the last 4 or 5 years. I know Palacios was excited the day that he got added to the 40 man, because it's a signal to those players that, hey, you know, your time to, you know, be sort of on track to be in the major leagues at some point is right around the corner. It's getting closer. I know Richie was really excited about that last year. And you know, when he was playing in the Arizona Fall League, he sort of knew that the next steps were, you know, make that 40-man roster and then just bide your time until they give you a shot.
Yeah, and you know, when you get to the 40-man, the option game kicks in. You know, they've got what I think 3 years, you know, for an option. So you know, each year is an option. So you're getting one way or the other, you're getting closer to either, you know, the big leagues or free agency. So, and maybe another chance with another ball club. So it is, you know, your salary goes up, you know, and it is an indication that, yeah, you're getting closer to the big leagues. You know, you're one of the 40 best players in the organization.
Yeah. That's sort of the big thing is that, you know, regardless of what the prospect rankings say and all that, you take your value based on, you know, where you are in terms of what roster you're on. And if you're on that big league roster, you know that they're at least thinking about you and they have a plan for you. Some of these guys maybe don't believe that, you know, they have a plan for them yet. I got to believe Angel Martinez thinks they have a plan for him, especially the way he's been playing in the fall league and, you know, just batting. I believe, is he down in the Dominican Winter League now? Is that where he is?
He was in the Arizona Fall League, Joey. He was hitting 260 at 73 at bats, 2 home runs, 14 RBIs. And I don't know. I doubt maybe he will play in the Dominican after this, but usually, you know, if you go to the Arizona Fall League, he's got to take a little bit of time off, maybe.
Yeah, some of these guys need a break. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that non-tender deadline coming up, are there any areas on the 40-man roster where you can see the Guardians maybe making some wiggle room out of you know, players who they either have maybe lost a little faith in, or maybe just you know, they're redundant and you don't need a guy to stay on the roster, maybe like a Brian Labastida, if you've got Bo Naylor, you know, making his way to the big leagues next year?
Yeah, I mean, right now they've got three catchers on the 40-man. You know, Labastida, Luke Maley, and Bo Naylor. So, you know, I would think, depending which way they want to go with this, and, you know, Henkes is, or, you know, Austin Hedges is out there as a free agent, their only free agent. So, it just depends. Do you bring Naylor back? And if you, I mean, is Naylor your starter? And maybe you try to re-sign Austin, or do you? And then if you do that, you probably, I would think, non-tender Maley, keep Lavastida in the minors. So, it's an interesting situation. But I would think, that's kind of an area where they look at.
Yeah, it's probably one spot between two catchers right there, between Hedges and Maley, if Hedges is amenable to a deal or being interested in coming back. I'm looking at this list of pitchers beyond the guys who are going to be obviously here. We saw young guys like Xavion Curry and Hunter Gaddis make their debuts, and I don't think really either of those two guys got maybe a fair look at points. I think both of them were thrust into spot starts against teams that they weren't set up to maybe have a great success against. I'm thinking back to Hunter Gaddis's debut where he got just shelled by the Astros. But do you keep them on the roster long enough to bring them back up and through, or do you create some room there? You've got Kirk McCarty, who, sort of endeared himself to the clubhouse by going out there and pitching, some gutsy middle relief at times late in the season. You got Connor Pilkington, who did everything they asked of him throughout the year. He was the sort of the sacrificial lamb, pitching the second game of doubleheaders every time they got rained out. Just a unique situation there. Those are some guys in terms of the pitching ranks that they can, maybe consider non-tendering or moving around. And if they are amenable to coming back to the organization, if they non-tender them, that's great. But if not, they've got to make room for some of these prospects.
Yeah, I think, a guy like Curry, probably, I would think they'd keep him, Joe. I think he'd stay on there, probably open the year in AAA, but he would stay on the 40-man. And especially with, the uncertainty of Plesac and Savali, you're going to need some depth in the rotation. And Curry and Pilkington certainly, served as depth guys, I think, last year. Like Gaddis didn't get a great shot. But maybe he fills that role as well.
Yeah, and Gaddis, I think both Gaddis and Curry were pitching at AA early in the year. So, they moved up, they pitched at three levels last year. It's a lot to take in. Just all in one sort of burst. I think if you start both those guys there at Columbus next year, they could find themselves by midseason and be available to help you at different times. As far as some of these young infielders, though, you were mentioning before, John Kenzie Noel is a name that he's so intriguing just because he's been an outfielder, he's been a first baseman, he's been a third baseman, he's been all over the place. But the one thing we know he can do is he can provide that power bat at a corner infield position. If they're looking for something there, this is a guy who can hit 20 home runs potentially in the big leagues.
Yeah, he hit 32 this past season in the minors. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think they better keep him, I would think. Mm-hmm. He sounds a lot like Oscar Gonzalez to me, like that kind of prospect,
They better not do what they did with Oscar Gonzalez and expose him, I can tell you that much. In terms of a non-tender candidate, though, out of this list, if I'm being completely honest, Owen Miller might be a guy who they non-tender, and they say, maybe they've seen the best of Owen Miller already.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think He had 424 at bats this past season, Joe. 130 games, 243, six homers, 51 RBIs. I mean, if anything, you know, they gave him a shot, you know, and you know, he had the great, you know, really a hot start, and we just kind of leveled off and never, you know, he never peaked again. So, you know, that's a likely candidate. I think Will Benson would be a candidate as well to get non-tendered.
Yeah, for the outfield, for sure. You know, and I'm looking at that group of outfielders. You've got Benson, Will Brennan, Oscar Gonzalez, Nolan Jones, Stephen Kwan, Richie Palacios, Miles Straw, George Valera. Palacios and Benson probably the two leading candidates there for non-tender status. But, you know, I think maybe they keep Richie around just because he's another guy who they asked him to do a bunch of different things, and he did. He always sort of stepped forward and did what they asked of him. He just needs a little more time to develop.
Yeah, he came up. Terry Francona used him mostly as a pinch hitter, it seemed like. You know, it's tough for a rookie, you know, making his big league debut, and that's the role he was used in. But he did a good job in that role, and you know, I would think they'd want to see him expand. You know, I don't know if he's going to get more of a chance than that, Joe, with this outfield, the way this outfield is shaping up. But you know, he certainly, you know, he took advantage of his opportunities, and that's all you can do. You know, you can only take advantage of the chances that you get, and I think he did a decent job with that.
Yeah, it's you know, an interesting or an intriguing rookie season for Palacios, but we'll have to see where he comes to spring training, if he makes it there, where he fits in with this outfield group. All right, plenty to talk about the rest of this week as we get into award season. The BBWAA awards kick off tonight with the Rookie of the Year announcement. That'll be coming down around 6:40 is when the American League Rookie of the Year will be announced on Major League Baseball Network. Likely that the award will go to Julio Rodriguez. It will be interesting to see where Stephen Kwan finishes among those top three finalists. Is he second to Rodriguez? Is he third behind Adley Rutschman? We don't know. We'll find out when the votes come in. I know a lot of people around here think that Stephen Kwan is definitely deserving of that top rookie honor, but if you look at it, Julio Rodriguez earned it, and I think he's going to be the overwhelming choice.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, Joe. I mean, you know, he had the power numbers. You know, he played center field. You know, just taking nothing away from Kwan. I thought Kwan, certainly is deserving of wherever he finishes. But I thought he would be a top three finisher in a Rookie of the Year balloting. And I think, truth be known, I think he should get some MVP votes, because I don't think Cleveland would be anywhere close to what they did, you know, the season they had without him.
I would be interested to find out what the voting totals or what the scoring process was when they determined the Platinum Glove winner in the American League, which was announced on Friday night as Jose Trevino of the Yankees. He came out. I believe he had the most defensive runs saved, and he scored highest on all the indexes in terms of the defensive indexes that were used by Saber and Rawlings to determine the Platinum Glove. But Stephen Kwan not earning the Platinum Glove in the American League, actually, I was a little bit surprised by.
Definitely, I thought that was a lock. You know, Trevino really, you know, I mean, I guess they both kind of came out of nowhere, really. You know, I know Trevino wasn't a rookie, but you know, he certainly the Yankees acquired him in a deal, right? I think
he was a backup. I mean, he opened the season pretty much as a backup. He wasn't going to be the number one guy, and you know, he turned into an all-star.
Yeah, so good for him. He had a great year, but I don't think Kwan has to take a backseat to anyone defensively.
No, and that's certainly, it'll be interesting to see how that translates year one to year two for Kwan, and if he has an opportunity to play every day again out there in left field, what kind of defense he can bring. But if he's able to maintain those kind of numbers and that kind of presence out there defensively in left field, then there's, I don't see a reason to move him out of there at all.
Yeah, and Cleveland has a long history of great players finishing second for the Rookie of the Year award. So I don't, if that's where Stephen Kwan finishes, he should be a he shouldn't t he should keep his head up because Kenny Lofton, Manny Ramirez, Julio Franco are in the same boat as him, and there's a couple other guys too.
Francisco Lindor.
Yeah. So he's in good company.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I think that number two rookie of the year spot, pretty much owned by Cleveland players throughout the years. Just why? What was the last Cleveland rookie of the year? Was Joe Charbonneau?
No, Sandy Alomar in
Oh, it was Sandy
'90.
Alomar. What am I thinking? Of course, it was Sandy Alomar. Jeez. Sandy Alomar. Jeez, that was a long time
1990.
ago. 1990. Wow. Oh man, I'm not even going to get into how old that makes me feel.
Seems like yesterday to me, Joe.
There you go, Hoynesy. It seems like yesterday. All right, we'll be back again on Wednesday to talk more about awards week. Manager of the Year award will be announced on Tuesday, so we'll have the results and a little bit of conversation about that on Wednesday morning here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Hoynesy, we'll talk to you then.
All right, buddy.